Praise the Lord. I enjoyed the singing this morning. What a blessing. We appreciate the good congregational. And wasn't that wonderful to hear that young lady, those young ladies sing? And I thank God for that. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. Quickly, just for a moment, I will mention, as Pastor said, the Barnabas Ministry. It's a threefold ministry: supply, and actually supplication, that is prayer, and then support, and that is going where we're needed to go, and then lastly, supply, trying to help financially with churches that are struggling. We're so thankful to be here this morning. I count it a double honor, and I thank your pastor, and thank you for allowing us to be with you this morning. I am from North Carolina. I don't know if you're used to North Carolina style preaching, but that's the only preaching I can do, is what God, the way God called me to preach. And I'm just going to mind the Lord. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4, while you're turning, again with the Barnabas Ministry, I'd ask you to pray for us. We are leaving Tuesday, going back to North Carolina, because my daughter and son-in-law have threatened my life if I don't return their children. Amen. They've been with us for about the last month, and mom and dad are ready for them to come home. And my grandkids are excited because when they get home, they're going to get to see two baby goats that have been born in their care, in their absence. And they're excited about it. They live out in the country. I mean to tell you, but I thought we lived out in the country, but until I come up here, I'm telling you, y'all live in the country, amen? And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Nebraska and the farmlands. You know what? Where would we be without farmers? Amen. We should be thankful for that. I'll tell you where we'd be. We'd be hungry. Probably a lot less of us, too, I mean, to go around. So we need to be thankful for that. We're going to look this morning, Mark chapter number 4, and I'm just going to share a portion of God's Word with you. And if I can, I'd like just to read down through these. Typically, I ask the congregation to stand, but I'm not going to do that this morning. We're going to jump right in the message. I like standing in reverence to reading of the Word of God and then going back and looking at it. For the sake of time this morning, I just want to draw your attention. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. First of all, I see the departure. And the Bible says, verse 35, "In the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." It's interesting that Jesus has made this statement to his disciples. He had taught long, and no doubt he was tired in body. He had taught many parables. And just a few years ago, my wife and I, in fact, about 4 years ago, my wife and I had the privilege to go to Israel. Anybody here been to Israel? We went to Israel. One of the highlights of going to Israel, we got to go on a boat ride. Guess where at? On the Sea of Galilee. I took that picture from a boat on the Sea of Galilee, if you just pass those around where everybody can see them. And I was standing on the boat, And I didn't even realize it today, Pastor, but I had some copies, 4 or 5 copies of this picture that I took. And this mountain back there just drawn my attention to it. That mountain's called the Horns of Hatton. But I want you to notice how calm the Sea of Galilee is. And it's just a very calm place, beautiful place. And we enjoyed being there greatly. What a blessing it was to see that. And the Sea of Galilee that day was just as calm as it could be. But you know what? There's mountains that surround the Sea of Galilee. And up towards Mount Hermon, the mountains get high. And you know what happens when you have tall mountains? You have cold air. Down on the Sea of Galilee, we were in the area of Capernaum. And in that area, it's very, very tropical. It's subtropical climate. So you have warm air and cold air, and when those two come together, guess what you have? You have storms, winds and storms. Now, I know Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. Do you believe Jesus knew what the disciples was about to face?
Sure.
And I want to say this to you. We don't know. We're going to the... Somebody or to should shout because we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. But now, Jesus knows what we're going to have to get through to get to the other side. But he said, let us go over unto the other side. On that other shore was the land of the Gadarenes. And I wish I had a picture of that to show you, but I don't have it with me. But we know that Jesus had a purpose for going across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was tired physically, and we know that. But that evening, those disciples and the Lord gets into a ship. Notice in verse number 36 and 37, we'll see not only the departure, but the danger. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm, notice this, of wind. And the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. So there's a great danger. Here they are. They're on the Sea of Galilee. And very likely when they shoved off from the Sea of Galilee there at Capernaum or where they were, and I believe they were at Capernaum or there close by, and they left, probably perhaps the sea was very calm. Everything was, there was nothing amiss. But the Sea of Galilee is notorious for storms. And we know what happened. They were in the sea, and here comes a storm of wind. And the Bible says there, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. Can I say to you, sometimes life gets that way. Sometimes it feels like that we're in the boat, and man, the waves, they're just coming in. And you know what happens when a ship fills with water? The weight of it, eventually it's going to cause it to sink. No doubt that they were in a desperate condition. No doubt it was a very serious matter. And by the way, let me tell you something. Just because you're saved by the grace of God does not necessarily mean that you are never going to go through storms, because we're all going to face trouble in our life. As we're looking here this morning, and I marvel at the scripture of what went on. The waves beat into the ship, and so it was now full. And then I noticed something else in verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. I notice what they, and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know what? That's a good question. Sometimes we can get in places where we feel like, oh, that all hope is gone, and we feel like, Lord, where are you? Have you ever been in a place in your life when you feel like, Lord, I don't know what's going on, and Lord, I don't even feel your presence. I don't feel your consciousness near me. I want to say to you, he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And we can trust God even in the storms of life. We can trust him. As I'm looking at the text, I notice the departure and the danger. And then the declaration, if you'll look in verse number 39. After they asked Jesus this question, carest thou not that we perish? The word we perish is a very interesting Greek word. It means to destroy fully. It means to die. Here they are, they're in the storm, and they're concerned, and they ask the Lord, Lord, don't you care that we're dying? You're asleep on the pillow, the boat's going down, it looks like all hope is gone, and here we are, we're afraid, and we don't have the answer, we don't understand this, and Lord, why aren't you doing something in this situation? And as we're looking at our text, I marvel at verse number 39. The Bible says, and he arose. I marvel at it. He did not address their question to them directly. But what did Jesus do? He arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. If I could draw your attention to that verse for just a second. I noticed this. He arose and rebuked the wind. So here it is that the Lord is speaking to the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace. That word peace is an interesting word. It means hush. If you had a mama like I did, my mama would say to me, hush your mouth. Look up here and wink at me if you had one. And if you didn't hush your mouth, she would hush it for you. Look up here and wink at me if you had a mama like I, my mama would tell me that, hush. And that meant to be still, and it meant to be quiet. And I understood that. And that is exactly what Jesus said here. He said unto the sea, hush, peace, be still. Did you know that word be still? It means to muzzle. And I marvel at that. As you look at that picture of the Sea of Galilee, all tranquil. It's just as calm as it can be. There are no waves. Now, it's one thing to speak to a storm. It's one thing for you to walk out, if you were on the sea, and say to the rain, okay, rain, stop. And then just by coincidence, the rain would have stopped. But can I tell you, it is an impossibility for the waves to stop. It took a miracle of God for Jesus to step out and say, peace, hush, be still, and immediately the waves stop. Have you ever been on a boat and felt another boat come by and it leaves a wake and you're doing this and this and it takes a little while for it to calm down? This is not the way this story unfolds. Jesus raises up from his sleep and he looked at them when they said, careth thou not that we perish? He did not address them personally, but he addressed their problem. And sometimes in life, when it feels like it's all over, when it feels like all hope is gone, Jesus is going to step right into the middle of your situation, in your most dire circumstance, and he's going to say, hush, be still, peace, be still, and the wind will have to obey. Let me say this. He is creator. He is sustainer of the world. He owns the title deed. He is God, and there is none else like him. I'm glad this morning to report to you that God is on the throne, that everything is running right on time, and that he has never made a mistake. Can I get a witness? Anybody glad that there's a God on the throne who knows all, sees all, and is able to help us even in our hardest of times? As we're looking at our text, I notice the departure, the danger, the declaration, and then the deliverance. In verse number 39, peace be sealed. Notice this, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. What happened? Immediately as Jesus spoke the words, a great miracle occurred. And by the way, it takes a miracle of God. Do you know what a miracle is? It's something that man can't conjure up. It's something that man cannot do. Only God has the power to do miracles. And that is exactly what happened in verse number 40. When 41, we see the deliverance. In verse 40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter number 5, and they came over unto the other side. Can I say to you this morning, whatever you're going through in your walk of life, Jesus knows about it. Jesus is concerned about it. And Jesus is going to bring us from this side to the other side. I don't know about you. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I've read about it. I marvel about it. I think about it. But it's going to be better than anything that I could ever think on in my mind. Heaven's going to be a place of wonder. It's going to be a place of splendor. It's going to be a place of the greatest of peace and the greatest of comfort. But can I tell you this morning, on the authority of God's word, if you're a saved, born again child of God, you're going to make it over, because Jesus said to you, he assures you that there is a heaven to gain and there's also a hell to shun. I'm glad for the day that I got saved by the grace of God, and Jesus gave me a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Life may toss us and turn us, but there's a God in heaven who cares for us, who's concerned about us. There's three things that I want to suggest to you this morning about Jesus caring for you. I'm glad that He cares for us in the matters of three things, if I could draw your attention quickly. And then I'm going to close as my grandson is taking note. As we think about that this morning, can I tell you, number one, Jesus cares about your situation. He knows you individually. He knows more about you than you know yourself. He knows your DNA strand. He knows every detail of it. He knows the stars, and He calls them by name. He's numbered them all, but He's named them all as well. He knows you individually. He knows who you are from the beginning of time to the end of time. Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has full and complete knowledge. I'm glad that He is a God that understands where we are. He knows your situation. I don't know it. Your pastor may not know it. He doesn't know everything going on in your life, but God does. And I'm glad that He cares for us. Aren't you glad of that? Even in the worst of circumstances, even in the worst of situations, I'm glad that there's a God in heaven who can come and comfort us and help us even in our times of need. He knows about your situations. But secondly, I'm glad, thank God, He knows about your sorrows. You know what? Sometimes in the darkness of night is a sorrowful time when you cannot sleep and the sorrows of life overcome you. Some people have sorrows, hurts that never seem to heal. It could be because of death and the loss of a loved one. It could be because of desertion. It could be because of depression. I don't know your sorrows. I don't know what's hurting you. But I do know the God of all comfort. And His name is Jesus. He's a good God, a loving God, and He cares about you today. Aren't you glad that you know Him? I'm glad that I know that He knows about my situations. He knows about my sorrows. You say, preacher, have you ever had sorrows? Oh, you better believe it. I've walked behind many a casket, carried out by six or eight men, and walked to the graveyard and lowered down into the grave some of the greatest people that I've ever known on the face of the earth. And it hurts dramatically. I've seen and I've experienced the desertion in ministry. I've seen people that have hurt and been hurt. And I've seen hurting hearts. And even today, there's no doubt hurting hearts. But I'm glad, thank God, what I cannot comfort, what your pastor cannot comfort, what someone else in this walk of life cannot comfort. There is a comforter, and His name is Jesus. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, He's with us and He's around us. He's around us. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Today, look around you. Look down beside you. Turn this way. Turn that way. He's there. If you can look behind you, He's there. If you can look in front of you, He's there. He's under you. He's over you. But thank God this morning, the best of all is that He's in us and He knows us and He loves us and His concern and His care is for us. So He knows about your situation individually. He knows about the sorrows of your heart, those things that no one else knows and Jesus knows about. I'm glad, lastly, this morning, and I'm going to turn to another verse of Scripture in just a moment, and I'd like for you to turn with me. Not only does the Lord know about your situation and your sorrows, but He knows about your soul. I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He's concerned about you. I remember the day the Lord saved me. Can I just testify for just a moment? I was 10 years of age. My daddy was an alcoholic. He was more than an alcoholic. In fact, he was a drunkard. My father was one who messed and made liquor illegally years ago, back when it was a big thing where we live. He made steel. They had a steel and all of those things. My daddy was exposed to that from a boy upward into his early age. My grandfather would drink socially, but he never drank. He never was an alcoholic, never had a problem with it. But his boys did. He had three sons, and all three of those those young men became drunkards. My daddy was probably the biggest drunkard of all. But he worked and he labored during the week, but he wouldn't come home Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. We would not see him on the weekend. He would get drunk and he would be gone. Monday evening he would come home. I remember having, as a 10-year-old boy, for 10 years of my life, I had a drunkard for a daddy, but I had a mama that took me to church. I had a drug problem from the time I was born. Actually, before I was born until the time I got saved, I was drugged to church every Sunday. My mama drugged me to church, and we prayed for my daddy. I hear her praying. I could hear her praying for my daddy. You know what happened? As fate would have it and as God worked it out, there was a great preacher back in those days. He had jet black hair. He was in his mid-20s. He looked like Billy Graham on steroids. I mean to tell you, he was a man filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God, and he went to work at the very place where my father worked at, a mirror plant, a place called Gardner Mirror. This man went to work there. And all of a sudden, we were without a pastor at the church that I attended. And then one day, news came to us that they're talking about that man of God with jet black hair is going to come and be the pastor of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. His name was Felman Cheek. And Brother Felman came and took the pastorate. My daddy said, for the first time in my life, I ever heard that drunkard say, he said, if that man becomes the pastor, I'm going to go hear him preach. Why was that? Because what he lived, what he preached on Sunday, he lived Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The man of God lived Christ before my father. And for the first time in my life, my drunkard daddy came in and sat on the back row. And the preacher got up with jet black hair, Billy Graham on steroids, and preached. I'm telling you, he touched heaven and he touched on it. He touched on hell. He told about sin. And just a few Sundays, my daddy kept coming back. And I remember the day when my drunkard daddy stood up at the invitation time. And I thought to myself, if my daddy goes out, I'm following him out the back door. I'm going with my daddy. My daddy stood up and he went the other way. He came down front and fell at the altar. About 10 men gathered around him and prayed. And I tell you, he got up a different man. I'm telling you, I got a new daddy that day. All the liquor that was hid around our house was poured out. He never drank another drop the rest of his life. And he loved God. God made a difference in his life, and it made a difference in my life. Why is that? You say, well, there's no record. There's no proof of living a Christian life. Hey, it pays. It does pay. How we live on the job makes a big difference in how people receive us. My daddy would have never got saved if Felman Cheek had not been the man of God he was on the job. Can I tell you this morning, it's important how we live. And boy, I want to tell you, I'm glad not long after that, me as a 10-year-old boy, I got under conviction, didn't know what conviction was, and I came and I got scripturally born again. I'm thankful for the day that the Lord saved me. And when I got saved, he said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee, but I'll go with thee all the way, even unto the end of the world. I want to tell you, he knows about your situation. He knows about my situation. He knows about our sorrows, but he cares for our soul this morning. Aren't you glad, thank God, that we serve a God who cares? Now, I know I'm going to get back up here. I have a bad tendency to preach North Carolina style anywhere I am. But please, I don't mean to offend nobody. I spit on people. Please forgive me. Some of y'all, brother, you know, you got way back in the back. And some of y'all in the back, you're in good shape. But you on the front, you're in spitting distance right there. I was a preaching one time big in a youth meeting. Had a 13, 14-year-old girl sitting right there. I was behind the pulpit, and I seen a big horker. That's what I call a big spitball. Look up here and wink at me. If you ever been around a preacher that preaches that way, and it went like this. It went, and it hit her right there. I'm telling you, glory to God, her eyes got big. And I'm telling you, I just went down there and I just wiped it off. And I said, young'un, I said, don't you were. Don't you be offended. Just consider it showers of blessings. Amen. That's exactly right. But I'm glad, thank God. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who cares this morning? You say, how do you know He cares? Well, the Bible declares it. Turn with me to 1 Peter and I'm going to close. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I'd like to read verse 6 and 7 in your hearing. 1 Peter chapter number 5. How do you know He cares, preacher? I know He cares because He loves us. He loves us. Aren't you glad He loves you? Boy, isn't it good to come to church and know that He loves you? The Bible says, humble yourselves therefore but under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Do you know what that word exalt means? It means to lift you up, to help you up. You know what? You could be here this morning and your situation's not good. Your sorrow is deep and heavy. Could be your soul is in need of salvation. But can I tell you there's a way to get some really good help? That's just to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and He'll lift us up. Notice this, verse number 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Can I say three things about this word, this verse, verse 7? First of all, that word casting. If you'll notice it, that first word, casting, it means to throw upon. As a fisherman would take the net and cast the net. You know what? We need to put all our situations, our sorrows, and even our mortal soul in the net and throw it to Jesus. Casting all your care. What does the word care mean, preacher? It means distractions. It means situations. And it also means sin. But notice this. I love the latter part of verse 7. And if you write an underscore in your Bible, you should underscore it. Because you're going to need it somewhere down the road when you're in the boat and it seems like all hope is gone. And you think, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Can I tell you right here some words for you? For He careth for you. The word careth there means to be interested in, to be concerned about. Aren't you glad that God, the eternal God of heaven, cares for your soul? He loves you today. He cares for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. It makes no difference what you've done. God loves you. If you'll humble yourself before Him, listen, it could be somebody here today that's never been saved. Jesus cares about your soul. Did you know we have an eternal soul that's going to live somewhere, either heaven or hell, after this walk of life? The choice that God gives us is either to believe or to reject. It's just that simple. God cares about it. Could be a Christian here today. You got situations that you seem like the boat's just filling up and you're just sinking. You're just sinking. Maybe it is that you've lost somebody to sorrow, to death, to depression, to desertion. And you're sinking. And you got that feeling going on in your heart. Can I tell you about a God that loves you? Oh, He loves you so much. You know what? We went to Israel. And I've already said that. We went to a couple places where they say that Jesus' body was laid. And I don't know which one is actually the one. There's the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre. And then there's Gordon's Calvary. But we went to both of those places. Can I tell you? He's not there. He's not there, preacher. I went in and looked. I examined it. I mean, at the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre, I was in there trying to take a picture, and there was a guy standing there on the outside. No pictures. I looked out, and he was in a religious garb, and I thought to myself, you come in here, I'll show you no picture in just a second. I got to have a picture of this because people don't believe the tomb is empty. I got news for you. I didn't have to go to Israel to believe the tomb is empty. Why is it? Because He's alive and doing very well. You see, He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for whosoever will. Aren't you glad the tomb is empty? I'm glad, thank God, on Calvary He paid our sin debt. He paid my sin, your sins, and the sins of the entirety of the world. He made a way. He opened the door for men, women, boys, and girls to be born again, to have faith in Him, and to put their trust in Him for forgiveness of sins. But you're saved today. And if you are saved today, we should rejoice because of that. Hadn't God been good to you? Boy, I want to tell you, hallelujah. Maybe it is you've never experienced that boat ride. Maybe it is you've never experienced the situations of life. Maybe it is that you have. And God's already worked a miracle. How long has it been since we said, Lord, I thank you? I want to tell you, God, hey, boy, if I could just shout a while. A few years ago, how many years has it been now since I had diagnosis? 4 years. 4 years. I had something going on. I knew it was something probably bad. Went to the doctor and he said, yep, you need to have a biopsy. I went to the doctor and had a biopsy. 12 times they shot me with that biopsy. And I thought to myself, this is like a nail gun. Oh, it hurt. And I said, I'll never have this done again. We went back 2 weeks later. And he said, I'm sorry to have to tell you. And I already knew. Holy Spirit had already told me. He said, I'm sorry to have to tell you, you got cancer. Boy, those words nobody wants to hear. You know what? I had surgery. And today I'm giving God the glory. Well, how does surgery go? Well, you don't want to know. It wasn't good. I had some rough times after it. But you know what? I had a God that was with me every step of the way. And I'm glad to report to you that what He says and what He's promised and what we have preached, your pastor will get up and he'll preach about faith and just following God. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. But when you go through the valley of life, that's where you find the Lord. Is always there. What are you going through in life? What have you already been through in life? God's been faithful, hasn't He? As we stand to our feet, let's pray together this morning. Pastor's going to come and he's going to give the invitation how he sees feel, how he feels led. I appreciate your pastor. I want to tell you something. He's a man that needs to be encouraged once in a while. You ought to tell him that you love him. You should see to his needs. You should hold his arms up. You should help him in every way. Maybe it is that God has got you here just to help this man of God in these days. I appreciate him. Let's pray together. Let's consider this morning. Do you have a situation and you feel like you're sinking? Do you have sorrows and you're just sinking in them? Is your soul sinking this morning? Do you have peace and assurance knowing that you've been born again? Father, Lord, we sure love you. Lord, we're thankful for Jesus. The tomb is empty. Lord, the cross that you shed your blood on, Lord Jesus, it was, Lord, for 6 hours. Lord, you suffered and bled and died as no man has ever suffered. Lord, you took the weight of the sins of the world upon you. Lord, that weight included my sins, my transgressions. Lord, you paid them all on the cross. Lord, I thank you for your promises. Let us go over into the other side. Lord, I thank you. God, you didn't say the journey would not be storm-free, but you did promise us a safe landing after a while. Lord, until we get to heaven, Lord, let us be focused. Lord, let us be obedient. Lord, let us be visionaries, Lord, to see the world as lost, to see neighbors, friends, and family as in need of a Savior. Lord, let us be witnesses. Lord, let us be like Isaiah. Lord, here am I. Send me. God, help us today that we would all have the Barnabas spirit about us. Lord, that we would be an encourager, pointing men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, if there's one here today that's not saved, Lord, I do pray for them. And Lord, that one that is sorrowful today, Lord, that one that has situations that are beyond their bearing, Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, we love you, we worship you, and we thank you. We ask this today in Christ's name. Amen and amen.